Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Scott.
Welcome back again.
Well, thank you.
We've done this a time or two. Yeah, it's interesting. You are here the day after the anniversary of the first Model A being unveiled in New York City's Waldorf Hotel and 35 other cities. Replaced the Model T, sold for $395 and $495. You kind of drive those old cars sometimes.
I don't remember that event, Scott.
No, but you've spent some time under the hood of a few of these old Fords, for sure. Yeah, that's kind of fun. Yeah, we joked yesterday, go from 0 to 60 in a week. And what is the now T's or A's or T's? What do you drive mostly?
I drive Model T's mostly. Okay. I have a couple of Model A's, but I drive Model T.
What's the top speed on a Model T?
Originally, it would have been probably 20 miles an hour, not because of the car, but because of the roadways.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's probably true.
Top speed was probably 35 miles an hour on an original Model T.
Okay, and so now the ones that you drive, are they souped up a little bit?
They're souped up, but they're stock engines. But I have a high compression head, and I have a Model A crankshaft in a Model T engine, which gives it a little more power, a little more durability.
Sure.
And I can drive it. It's very comfortable at 45. I can drive it 55, but that's like driving your modern car 90.
Okay, as you're pushing it, I understand. And what kind of gas mileage do you get?
I get 20, 22 miles
a
gallon.
Okay, that's kind of...
It's only four cylinders.
So. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and you're not going to pass a whole lot of people, are you?
Not many.
No,
not
I hear many. You. I hear you. All right, well, let's talk about this now. Third time's the charm. You're third time elected to the city council in Bryan. Congratulations, first of all, on that.
Thank you, Scott.
So let's talk about the differences now. Obviously, different leadership as far as the administration is concerned, different people in heads of different departments. What have you done to kind of reintroduce yourself to the leadership in Bryan?
Well, there is a learning curve. I did serve my second term from 2003 to 2009, and a lot of the people I met during that term are still active in the city, both employees and volunteers. But, you know, there's different issues on the table now. I haven't learned all the new issues, but I have a foot up in the learning process.
Sure. I mean, you know, one of the first things to think about, we'd talked about how, I guess, one of the first actions you take is to have body cameras for police officers. Boy, that's the kind of thing you never would have even dreamed of, I guess, the first time you sat in council.
Certainly not in the first time, and I'm not sure about the second time. I don't remember any discussions on that, but I was aware for the past couple of years that the police department was studying that issue and evaluating the different options. One of the issues there is not just the expense of the body cameras, but the expense of keeping up with all of the video recordings.
Yeah.
Being able to go back and retrieve those recordings when you need to.
It's kind of like that HP printer. It's pretty cheap, but that ink's kind of expensive.
That's right.
Storing all the data is
going to... You almost can buy a printer with ink in it for the price of buying the ink.
Exactly. So, yeah, storing all the data is going to be an ongoing expense. Also, in your times prior on council, I mean, quite honestly, Bryan was a city that was begging for business, was begging for people to build homes there, to move there. This is a different kind of Bryan now.
It is, and I'm very proud of the direction Bryan has gone recently, and really that's the reason I ran for council a third time is I want to see that momentum continue. I want to see the improvement continue.
Ben Hardiman, newly elected to his third time on Bryan City Council. What are the pitfalls? What do you see are the problems, the dangers that Bryan could move into if they're not conscientious about things?
We need to stay up with what's going on in the world. We need to continue our excellent relationship as we now have with City of College Station. We didn't have that during my two previous stance on the council, and I think that's very strong for both communities. I say both communities. This is one community. It's two city governments, but it is one community, and we need to never lose sight of that.
So two newly elected city council members in the first meeting that you had last week, characterize that meeting for me.
I felt good after the meeting. You know, one of the anticipated issues was the ongoing 3-4 split in a number of contentious votes. I don't know that we had more than one 3-4 split last week, and that was on personnel issues. But there was one point in the meeting that Mike Sutherland made a motion, and I seconded the motion, and I was pleased to see us working together that well.
Well, at the end of the day, everybody lives in about three zip codes. I mean, we're geographically close to each other, even if we're not from a political standpoint. But tell me what kind of outreach you've done with the maybe the other three members, if you will, that that you might generally be perceived as being at odds with.
I haven't talked to them one-on-one since the campaign. I did have some conversations during the campaign, but that's one thing that I have planned on doing and plan on following through on is sitting down, visiting with them. Those conversations may last 2 hours, they may last 2 minutes, but those conversations need to be had.
Sure. Full disclosure, Ben Hardiman and I sit on the board of the Downtown Bryan Association. Will you continue to be on the board even though you're elected member of council?
Yes, I will be remain on that board. I'm in the capacity of treasurer
at
the present time.
And, of course, you've been very active in the Queen, you know, to the point of climbing up on top of that crown probably as much as anybody in town has. You've spent a lot of time doing that, so I know it's a real passion of yours. What would you say to those people who say you're too focused on downtown Bryan, that there's more that needs to be developed than just downtown?
Well, I have been focused on downtown Bryan in the past 5 years because I got involved in the DBA, and shortly after I got involved in the DBA, the organization got involved with the Queen Theater. I expect to remain involved in that activity until the Queen is finished. I don't know. I can't say how much longer it'll take. It could take 1 year. It could take another 5 years. But that's my main interest in downtown is to see the Queen finished, and downtown is prospering on its own now. My involvement is not part of the overall prosper.
Yeah. Ben Hardiman joining us this morning. Give us kind of the Ben Hardiman view on business development, bringing new business in. What types of businesses need to come in, and what do you think Bryan needs to do to bring those businesses?
I'm a strong advocate of business development, economic incentives when they're appropriate. The public doesn't fully understand, I don't think, that the city doesn't just write a check to these businesses that come in. The city enters into contracts in which we say, if you really do what you say you're going to do, then we will provide these incentives. And in most cases, those incentives involve tax abatements on taxable assets that would not exist if those businesses don't come to town. So it's not a reduction in tax revenue the city has ever received in the past. It's a reduction in future taxes for a limited period of time while those businesses get established and get their feet on the ground and get operational.
It came up during our candidates forum, and I don't know that it's a big deal, but for a while there was certainly a buzz about, hey, let's bury the utility Lowett lines along Texas Avenue. Let's make Texas Avenue more aesthetically pleasing, but also part of that was burying the lines, and I think the mayor's been on to talk a couple of times about that. That's a pretty significant expense if you did that. But tell me, in your view, what do you think Bryan could do to make that portal into the city more accommodating?
Well, Scott, everybody would love to see those transmission lines buried. In reality, that's probably not going to happen, not in my lifetime anyway. The expense would be about $8 million per mile, according to Gary Miller, general manager at BTU. Mm-hmm. If we had located them in a different location initially, it would have been great. That wasn't done. Now, beyond that, though, there are a lot of empty buildings on Texas Avenue, and there are a lot of unkept properties, shall I say, on Texas Avenue. And I think the city can encourage, both with the carrot and with the stick, the owners of those properties to upgrade the appearance. Some of the upgrades would be a coat of paint. Some of the upgrades would get so far as to demolish the building and utilize the property for some new asset.
Mm-hmm. And I guess finally, single-member district means there's a portion of the city that you individually represent. Have you heard anything from your constituents about your geographic slice of Bryan and what they would like to see done there?
I don't view my responsibility as a council member to focus solely on a single-member district. My district includes the area south of Villa Maria Road and west of Texas Avenue. It extends a little bit farther north when you get west of the railroad tracks, and then it includes most everything west of 2818. But I don't hear people within my district saying, hey, we want this specifically for our district. They honestly, they say, we want this for the city of Bryan. And that's the way I look at my responsibilities.
Okay. Any other thoughts or anything we didn't cover today that you wanted to mention?
Well, I do think that there are a lot of
Yeah, go ahead.
I think there are a lot of opportunities in West Bryan, but there's a lot of opportunities all over Bryan. And what we have to do is focus on the opportunities that are feasible, are within our reach, and can benefit the whole city. Doesn't matter where those opportunities exist. And, you know, Texas Avenue is a border of District 5,
right.
But there's structures and real estate on both sides of Texas Avenue that need improvement.
Sure.
That's the way we need to look at it.
Very good. Thanks for the time this morning. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Scott. You have a good Christmas yourself.
Thank you. That's Ben Hardiman. He's the District 5 single member council member for the city of Bryan.